afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, July 15th, 2022. TGIF, Butch.
Hey, it really is. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
You got a good weekend planned?
Eh, so-so.
So-so.
So-so. Oh,
that sounds so exciting. You think you can handle it?
I'm going to try. I'm
Golly.
Going to try. Do you?
Yeah, well, I got a busy one planned as usual. I have church tomorrow, and it's, like I said, 2-hour drive one way, and then I do 2 hours of the teaching and 2 hours drive back. So I put in a pretty full day tomorrow and Bible study and really enjoy it. Dr. Judy Mikovits is going to join us tomorrow via Skype, some of the things that in a church services. So it's going to be a good day, mm-hmm. I think. I really do. Hope you're a pretty weekend, and we better enjoy them because summer's going by so fast.
Oh, certainly does. It's hard to believe we're in the middle of July.
I know. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking that some years ago, some older person back then said the grass will start slowing down, growing about the third or fourth week in July. So that means that the weather is starting to turn towards fall. And I thought, why'd they say that?
Really? We're just going into summer. It's just the beginning
know,
of summer.
But the grass starts slowing down, they said, growing the third or fourth week of July, which means things are starting to slow down for, you know, later in the year for September. September, of course, is really starting to fall. But I'm just thinking, but you think about it, we got a month and a half into September.
I know.
You know, and what's a month and a half any longer time-wise?
A week.
Yeah, that much.
A week.
But, anyway, let's try to get through the weekend. You have a great so-so weekend.
Okay, I will do. And you have a fabulous one. And, speaking of fabulous, that wasn't gold today. A little more pressure on gold today. We broke 1700 one more time briefly. 1707 right now in the New York spot price aftermarket. Silver was up 21 cents at $18.76. Platinum was up 3 at $857. Palladium was down 4.5%, $1,911, down $82. There was a little pressure on the dollar, but, you know, it's still holding at the 108. And that was down just 56 cents. The crude oil was up 1.77 at 97.55. And CNBC, the Dow popped more than 600 points today. 31,288. The S&P was up almost 2% at 3,863. The NASDAQ was up 200. At 11,452. Asian markets, Nikkei was stronger. All the rest were negative, very similar to yesterday. Europe was all positive. And 10-year yield, that really dropped 2.92%. And peaking out oil again, natural gas was up almost 8%, back up over 7 at 7.11. And, the Dow popped more than 600 points, which doesn't really make sense because they talk about how the stocks rallied today in response to a new round of bank earnings and promising economic data, okay, as fears of a 100 basis point rate hike from the Federal Reserve to subdue rising inflation subsided. What changed? You had some of the biggest banks, J.P. Morgan, and what's changed?
Well, and you mentioned Europe, you know, and the market's all up. I'll get some news here about Britain and France. It's not good news. I don't know how they. I don't know what changed. I don't, Melody. I don't see it. I wish I did. But I
mean, we have the highest inflation in over 40 years, and the market is getting a little more convinced that he's not going to be delivering a full point rate increase at the end of the month. He should. He should. And that we're getting close to seeing peak Fed tightening get priced into the market. Well, but I mean, it did the round of bank results from Wells Fargo. They went up. They popped 6.2% even as their quarterly profits declined. I think that's 4.8%. It can't be 48%. Let me bring that up to see if that has to be a little line in there. It can't be 48%. But yeah. So their earnings drop and everything else, and yet, you know, their stock goes up 6%. Go figure. Well, we know how that's done, and it's done by the Federal Reserve and all the other central banks and too big to fail banks. It's just really disgusting. Just really disgusting. But we got to hang in there for gold and all the consensus in the precious metals businesses. Certainly, we're all waiting for everything to pop. And when it's going to pop, it's going to pop big. And so get ready, ladies and gentlemen. If you've been looking to, get in any gold and silver, now's the time to do it. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. And, we did have U.S. retail sales. That tops forecast. They were stronger than expected in June, but after several economists adjusted the data for inflation, they just point to a leveling off in spending. So, yeah, let's adjust them for inflation. And which inflation did you use? And so now they're just leveling off. So the value of overall retail purchases increased 1%. After an upwardly revised 0.1% decline in May. And, so that goes on. Padded by high savings and rising wages, even though those rising wages don't buy anything more than what they did a month ago or 6 months ago, Americans are continuing to spend money as they did earlier. It's called credit. Forget the high savings and forget the rising wages. It's called credit cards. Debt. That's how they're doing it. But so that was one of the reports that came out today that was having mixed reviews and analysis on exactly what truly is going on. Macaroni Grill, or Macaroni, or however you pronounce it, Macaroni Grill, they're now charging temporary inflation fees. I think we talked about this earlier in the week about Florida. There was restaurants looking to charge inflation fees up to 16%. Well, this person, the Macaroni Grill, is charging a $2 temporary inflation fee at its restaurant. So people think it's worth it. Such great service and such great people. And yeah, we'll give you an extra $2 just so we don't have to pay any more on our food costs. So... anyway, Butch, those are some of the...
Well, I was talking yesterday to the girls here in the office. We was doing some orders and talking about different things. And one of them mentioned that gas is on sale about an hour north of us for $4.50-something a gallon. That's cheap. Then she stopped and said, that's not cheap. But she got excited because it saved 20-some cents a gallon. But she's up that way the other day. And we got talking about it. And I said, do you understand that we've all just adapted to these prices? I mean, the traffic hasn't slowed down any that I've seen. Maybe it has in some areas, but I haven't seen traffic slow down at all. So everybody just adapts to the prices and goes on. So to say, you mentioned about, well, hey, we'll pay $2 extra for whatever that extra restaurant was. It's worth it. When do we finally say enough is enough? I mean, when do we start saying this is getting out of hand?
When it's too late?
Yeah, I would have to say so. But I mean, I was talking to Shannon, like I said, in the office, and she said it was cheap. Then she stopped and said, no, that wasn't cheap. And really, it should dawn on her that what she said was absurd. It's not cheap. It wasn't cheap a year ago when it was $2 or something or whatever it was. It still wasn't cheap. But we adapt to the idea that we can save 35 cents there at this station. So we're so excited to go ahead and get a fill up there. And yeah, so it went up $50 from this time last year, filling the tank up. It was still a good deal. No, it wasn't a good deal. No, it's not a good deal. But we get used to the idea. And again, I can't speak for anybody else. I don't know how anybody's finances are, but it's hurting me financially to try to keep up these things. And I'm not going to lie about it. Well, I took Marsh and Doctor this past Tuesday up to Morgantown, West Virginia, and what used to cost $30 in gas cost $60 in gas mm-hmm. or more. So don't tell me it's cheap. No, it's not cheap. But anyway, should we move on?
Yeah, I just have this one more thing. I mean, you know, we talk about how soft people are getting or how we have gotten and so forth. And I just saw this article. It's this company just raised millions. This company just raised millions of dollars to make tech layoffs more humane. Continuum is a venture-backed bet on fractional work, and better yet, that founders want to show humanity during moments of crisis. This company that was launched back in 2020 started as a play to connect startups to a part-time executive help. Now it has expanded to help struggling tech companies cut staff in a more humane way. I mean, Butch, okay. It's hard okay. to, it is hard to lay off anybody. I get it. But you don't deserve to be in management or a CEO or anything if you can't handle that job on your own.
I agree.
I mean,
everyone thinks today that we have a special entitlement coming just for being alive. I mean, years ago they started giving the losing ball teams a trophy so they wouldn't feel bad. I don't get it. Why? I mean, we all have someone's got to be a winner or loser. Everything. Why are we going to reward somebody because they didn't win? I'm not saying they didn't do the best and they weren't good sports, but that's not the point. Point of it is, why reward somebody for something they didn't earn?
Yeah,
it's just that easy.
And this product that they're launching and that is available, it's going to connect leadership teams. You're going to have a leadership team to an HR executive who will help craft a company communications plan, a diversity and impact analysis, and day of support in conducting the layoffs. Now they even have support. I don't know. I'm not a hard-hearted person, trust me, but it's just like, it's just the absurd anymore, Butch.
It is absurd. It is, and that's this something for nothing attitude the American people has got in this best start with. And that's just a fact.
If you can't lay the people off and if you can't manage your team, how can you hire them to begin with? So no wonder you have to lay them off because you're not hiring the right people. It's
absurd. It is absurd. It is. But that's another, in my mind, a liberal approach to something. And I hate
that. It's another sign of just where we're at, the decay.
It is. Soft.
Yes.
Soft. We are.
Right.
On the side of maybe a little bit of good news. Senator Manchin, a senator, of course, from West Virginia, a Democrat, and I have to say he's got a tough job. I wouldn't want to be him now. He's trying to straddle the fence between being a Democrat and a Republican. We'll say conservative. I won't say Republican, but he's trying to straddle the fence between the two. And it's got to be hard because people in the state are watching him very closely, and he's made some decisions that were good and some that were not so good. And I'm sure he's a little bit concerned because he's trying to please everyone, the liberals in D.C. and our state here in West Virginia, which is a pretty conservative state. Well, he did this right. Manchin crushes Biden's hopes for revival of economic agenda. So kudos to Senator Manchin. Senator Joe Manchin told Democratic leaders Thursday that he would not support new spending on climate measures or tax increases, delivering a potentially fatal blow to President Joe Biden's ambitious economic agenda. The West Virginia Department Democrats' decision, confirmed by three people familiar with the discussions, comes after more than a year of negotiations and just months before midterm congressional elections that would determine control of both chambers. Manchin told Majority Leader Chuck Schumer he's only willing to support legislation that would lower prescription drug prices and extend enhanced Affordable Care Act subsidies, the people said. That leaves Democrats in a position of accepting a much smaller package shorn off nearly all their long-term ambitions from a year ago or getting nothing. His decision is a de facto veto of Biden's hopes to revive the economic plan that fizzled last year. Angry Democratic progressives who have been counting on sweeping policy wins. Manchin's vote is pivotal in the evenly divided Senate, where Democrats need a united caucus to pass the economic package by simple majority under special budget reconciliation rules. So that is good. That is good. This is going to cut back on a lot of the greenies whining, and they are whining over this, by the way. They're actually throwing a fit this isn't going to happen because they didn't have their way again. And every time I see these people, they remind me of children that they lost their sucker. And they're all upset because somebody took away their sucker. You know, they just throw a fit and stomp their feet and cry. I mean, this. But anyway, I want to say thank you to Manchin for his stand on that. I'm glad he did that. That maybe give people a little break in some areas and take some strain off the people that can't carry the load already. Any comments, Melody?
No.
So, and another, some good news here again. Court grants Air Force service members relief from shot mandate. A federal district court in Ohio has granted a temporary restraining order for the entire class of the U.S. Air Force against an unlawful Department of Defense COVID shot mandate. Thousands of these service members who oppose receiving the shot due to the sincerely held religious beliefs have been denied the religious exemption. I won't go through the whole article. It's not important, but all the branches of the Air Force, the reserves, the cadet, Air Force cadets, Air Force reserve officers, all of them have been given an exemption, temporarily at least. For not taking the COVID jab or being kicked out of the military. So kudos to the judge in Ohio who granted this, and maybe we'll stay the tyranny on that topic for a little while longer. But on the other hand, Canadian court rules it was legal to deny unvaccinated person organ transplant. A judge in Canadian province of Alberta has ruled that a woman did not have her rights violated when she denied an organ transplant due to not being vaccinated against the Wuhan coronavirus. Melody, how do you figure that works? Court of Queen's Bench Justice Paul Bazile ruled that Edmonton, Alberta woman Annette Lewis had not had her fundamental character rights and freedom of rights violated by being denied an organ transplant over her vaccination status. How does that work? She was in line for an organ transplant, but because she didn't want to take a jab, she was denied the transplant. The judge rules, hey, it's okay.
Well, it's Canada, right?
Yes, Canada, yes.
Where do you think their health care comes from in Canada?
Of course, just like ours turned into now, it comes from the state.
That's what you get from your state. That's what you get from your government. They control you whether you live or you die.
That's exactly right, and that is a fact. Jeremiah 17:5, folks, read it for yourself.
We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website at DGScoins.com, DGScoins.com. And, you know, Butch, we got a text right before the program, so I haven't had a chance to do 10,000 of rail labor union workers vote to go on strike. There was an overwhelming majority of the nation's oldest rail labor union voted to authorize a nationwide walkout amid stalled contract negotiations that could potentially bring train shipments to a halt as early as July 18th.
Yes,
I do believe Monday. That's Monday. On July 12th, Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers and Trainmen members approved the strike by 99.5% margin. The union represents 57,000 rail workers. And, the national president said the strike could begin in the coming days to secure a contract worthy of considerations. And they blame this rail line because they never hired back enough people. They fired a third of their nationwide workforce, forcing the remaining employees to work more. And their only goal in mind was profits without regard to health, safety, satisfaction, or well-being of their employees, customers, or the nation at large. So that's how the employees feel about it. So something we can look forward to.
That will cripple, oh my, that's going to be huge for production, for produce and products being carried across the country. They carry.
Well, you know, our great leader, he loves those unions, right?
Exactly right.
You know, because he always blames the company that they're just not, nothing is passing down. There's, you know, so.
What's going to hurt? I mean, folks, buckle up. It's going to be tough. I don't know how long it's going to last. Hopefully, be over in a few days. But it's going to hurt. And once, if it does stop, Milt, if the whole thing comes to a screeching halt, even if it ends 2 days later, it doesn't start back up 2 days later.
Yeah.
It takes a while to get geared up again and get moving. You know what I'm saying?
It does, yeah.
So it's going to be, it's going to hurt. Hitch up your panties, folks. It's going to be a rough ride. Woo! Gosh. Wow. Now, we talk about Europe and what's going on and their markets being up. It's bad over there, too, folks. The whole world seems to be totally upset. I mean, look at what happened in Sri Lanka, and it's happening all around the world. Things are just all out of order. But keep in mind, it has to be this way. In order for the people to accept I've got to make a point and I'll move on, Melody. But everyone's looking for a political leader to fix everything. They don't turn back to God. I don't see a revival anywhere. Repentance. People say, all right, we messed up. Let's turn back to God in heaven. No. I see we got to get Trump back in office. No, we got to get DeSantis in office. No, we got a new leader in Europe now. We got to get rid of Johnson. And all this is pointing to a political solution for a spiritual problem. It ain't going to happen. But the world has to be hammered in shape, so to speak, to accept the political leaders that's going to come on the scene, maybe soon, and say, I can fix the problem. And he'll have the charisma, the success, and the knowledge to do it temporarily. That man is called the Antichrist. And it's getting very close. Very close. As Daniel chapter 8 verse 25 says he'll cause the crafts to prosper. Things will move along really well for a short period under him. But anyway, back to the news and what's happening.
But you know what? You all these people out there, the people think they're going to do something. DeSantis, and I don't know what Trump's doing. You know, I know a lot of our listeners would go out and vote for him. But all they do, they don't do anything to change anything. He didn't do anything to change anything.
No, he didn't.
They don't. They put a little pause, or they set it up so when the next Democrat gets into office, they can, you know, move ahead, you know, three times further than what they had originally anticipated, just because of what was set up by the Republican that was in office. Because they're working together, and that's what no one gets. I don't care who it is. Their hands are tied. They're puppets. They don't control what's going on out of that White House. They get credit for stuff. You know, they could do their little programs and, you know, give all the speeches and all the credit. It's a whole lot bigger than they are.
It is. And even if their heart and their intention were totally pure, Melody, they can't do it by themselves. It's impossible. And some of the ones who maybe tried to change some things, and John F. Kennedy was one of them, ended up dead because of his stand on the Federal Reserve and what he was going to do with that. He ended up dead just a few days later. So believe me, folks, the powers that be are not going to let somebody come in that office and take over. But the worldwide dictator is going to be coming to the scene. We'll have that thrown at him, so to speak, and we'll see what happens there. But back to you talking about all the markets up in Europe. And this article said German energy giant warns of insolvency within days, starts draining gas from storage. And, folks, this is actually happening, and winter's coming. It is coming. Dear Biden administration, for an example of a real emergency that justifies draining a commodity reserve, and not just for midterm elections, which Democrats will lose in a historic rout, read on. German energy giant and distressed natural gas utility Uniper, which is among the companies most exposed to Russian natural gas, has started using gas it was storing for the winter after Russia cut deliveries to Europe, increasing pressure on Berlin as the German energy giant needs to be rescued in a few days. Now, let this sink in. Someone who's been running a huge conglomerate, an energy giant who has been totally running things smoothly, been making money at it, is now may be rescued in a few days. The stop and think, Millie, that this just a turn of a tap, and this we'll discuss in a minute, a turn and tap of a gas line can shut down a whole country. Folks, that's what dependence on other nations and other people can cause to destroy a society. And America is so vulnerable, it's unbelievable. But anyway, the country's top buyer of Russian gas started withdrawing fuel from storage sites to supply its customers. The company said it in a statement to Bloomberg on Friday. The drawdowns, which began on Monday, will also help the company to save some cash as it has been forced to pay up for gas in the spot market. Meanwhile, flows to the Nord Stream 1 pipeline remain shut for maintenance. Harold Shigatz, deputy chairman of the supervisory board, said that Uniper needs urgent help, risking insolvency within days. We are currently reducing our gas volumes in our storage facilities in order to supply our customers with gas and secure Uniper's liquidity, the company said. And judging by the flattening of German gas storage and inventory, Uniper is not alone in draining reserves. So that's when you become dependent on another country, or in our sense, American citizens, on a government to take care of us, and they cut the tap off, we're done. Macron announces street lights will be turned off in response to energy crisis. Now, listen to what I'm telling you. Despite claiming that France has little dependence on Russian gas, President Macron announced that public lighting will be turned off at night to save energy. Macron made the comments during a televised interview to commemorate Bastille Day, asserting that the summer of early autumn will be very hard. One more time. Asserting that the summer, early autumn, will be very hard for French people due to the war in Ukraine. Macron said that a total cutoff of Russian gas was looking very likely. In response, French citizens are being told to engage in energy sobriety and prepare for even higher food prices, as Macron announced public lighting will be turned off at night in some places. From now on, I'll ask public bodies and all companies that can to consume less, said Macron. We will create a program and try to use lighting less in the evenings. We're launching a low reduction in sobriety program. We have to prepare for a scenario in which we have to give up Russian gas completely, he added. Again, there's two countries, two complete economies, two nations, France and Germany, because they're dependent on another supposed enemy's supplies keeping running, that could be having to shut down most of the country because of this tap was turned off. Mm. One order from one, whoever, I don't care if it's good man, bad man, I don't care what you think about Putin, shut it down for maintenance for 10 days, maybe they'll turn it back on right away, we'll see. But the scary part is that, Melody, these two nations, whole nations, are dependent on one man's decision.
Yeah.
I mean, and folks, America is no better. Believe me. We can't even feed ourselves. We're no better. And yet, I don't know, people go out and spend $2 more because they feel like they're able to eat at the restaurant, or they... I don't know, Melody. I mean, you maybe have the answers. I can't figure it out.
Well, the only way it always makes sense is if you look at it, it's all part of the design. It's all part of the plan, and this is just another, you know, it's just another road. It's just another leg of the system that they needed and so forth. And it's the citizens, it's the people that don't understand and accept it and allow them to do what they're doing.
That is, no one seems to be getting too excited, but I mean, yet. But I have to think, Melody, and for example, in Germany, if this winter comes, they don't have heat in their homes. I think they might get excited. What do you think?
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe not.
If they don't have, I've always tried, and I'm just a real conservative individual, but I always try to have backup for things. I'm nothing fancy, but you know, I mean, for backup things, the power goes off, you need to have something that, you know, plans to at least conserve your food as long as possible in your coolers, or you know, have some way to support the system that you need to keep running for a while. That's common sense. And that's why I've always used wood and coal as a heat source, and I had propane gas, you know, in case I wasn't here to back it up. But now that I have a heat pump, I have still have wood and coal for backup and propane for backup. I mean, what's wrong with being prepared? Maybe I couldn't run it for long with certain things. I mean, if I ran out of propane, I couldn't use it, obviously. But preparation, to me, is all made common sense. When I grew up, we canned my mom canned everything to get her hands on. To put food in the cellar, I mean, everything from strawberry preserves that were delicious, wild strawberries, oh, they were so good, you know, to potatoes in the basement, buried apples in the ground, and we always had, so we prepared for things. That's what the Bible teaches about the ant preparing for winter. But it seems like we've forgotten the idea of doing that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It really does.
Now, my oldest son lives in Colorado. He doesn't like Colorado as far as politics go. He loves the state, doesn't he? He hates the politics of the state. Well, I can understand why. Colorado Democrats open public benefits to illegal aliens. Taxpayers build millions. Kind of like California, doesn't it?
It does.
Colorado Democrat Democrats with Governor Jared Polis at the helm are opening an array of public benefits to illegal aliens that are expected to cost millions for the state's taxpayers. As part of a legislative package signed last year, Polis and Democrats have opened more public benefits like dental insurance, family services, business permits, and professional licenses to the state's nearly 300,000 illegal aliens. Let me rephrase that. They're going to give dental insurance, family services, business permits, and professional license to 300,000 criminals. Melly, what can I say?
Can't say too much more.
Likewise, Polish Democrats are issuing and ensuring that illegal aliens will now be eligible for taxpayer-funded subsidies for property taxes, rental costs, and utility bills. That expansion alone will cost taxpayers about $12 million annually. The effort comes as President Joe Biden's administration has greenlit a plan by Colorado Democrats to give subsidized health insurance to legal aliens. Colorado officials are hoping to enroll about 10,000 legal aliens under the subsidized health insurance program in the first year, with more enrollees every year thereafter. Similarly, Polis has signed a legislation into law that will make pregnant criminals and their children eligible for Medicaid beginning in 2025. That plan will cost taxpayers nearly $30 million a year, with the federal government paying most of the cost. Colorado's rapid expansion to entice criminals to the state serves as a blueprint on par with states like California, Illinois, and New York, where criminals are awarded driver's license, health insurance, protection from deportation, as well as other benefits. Oh, Melody, Melody, Melody. It's insane. And I don't know why people aren't disgusted and angry. We're rewarding criminals with free everything at our expense. Boy, you're quiet today. You must be thinking.
Well, no, I mean, you're saying everything that I would say. I mean, I concur with everything that, you know, and it's true. That's what I said. It just doesn't seem like nobody cares anymore. Nobody has their voice anymore.
No.
And if they do have a voice, they're ridiculed and everything else by the other side. And,
you'd have to say now, there can be no doubt that they're intentionally bringing our country down. Well, would that be a fair statement?
Can't see it any other way.
No, it's impossible. It's impossible. If these criminals are getting paid with just one, if that was the only thing they were doing, there may be a question. But destroying the food supply chain, bankrupting the country, giving away trillions and trillions of paper dollars. No, folks, this is not a coincidence, or it's not something that we just see happening as happenstance. This is happening on purpose. They're undermining our country. It's going to lead to some problems with it. There's going to be probably some bloodshed in the future over this, and there's no doubt about it. People are predicting this everywhere, not just me. But our nation's been taken down step by step. It started a long time before I was born, but they've increased the pace now because they almost have it totally complete here. Maybe we get ready to go to break in a few seconds. You have anything to that?
No, and you know, all we hear about is how the elections, you know, come this year, and midterms are going to, you know, change over, and, you know, the Republicans are going to take over. Don't be so sure on that. Don't be too sure on that. And the thing of it is, you're right, and what difference is it going to make anyway? Well, it does slow it down. We hope that it does, but again, it just sets it up for something to go a little bit more... you know, it's just part of it. It's just part of it. And, but anyway, what's part of this program also is we have breaks, and we're heading into one right now. So we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Alrighty, folks, we are back. And Melody slipped out on. She's taking off a few minutes early to start the weekend. And, of course, this is Pastor Butch Parker listening to Financial Survival and the phone number to call Melody. And, boy, now is the time to call Melody. Wow, I wish I had a bunch of money to left over to really purchase some things right now, like the hard assets. I really do. Get what you can, folks, while you can. At 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. I mean, things are coming together so quickly in so many different directions that it's almost impossible to cover all the news and get everything out that I think we should be getting out. But we're doing the best we can because that's what we're here for. Now, I suppose this is good news. It's sad it has to happen because I'll explain to you after you read it here. Social Security increase for 2023 could reach double digits. Social Security recipients are likely in for another large cost of living increase in 2023, and it could be even bigger than last year's. Last year's is 6%. That's big. I mean, I guess it's definitely helped, but it didn't put a dent in what happened today. But anyway. A recent analysis from the Nonprofit Committee for Responsible Federal Budget found the increase next year could be as high as 10.8 if inflation continues its current pace, according to Fortune. If inflation cools to the target rate of 0.2% a month, then checks could increase by 7.9%. Inflation has remained high all year, with prices increasing 8.6% in May. Fortune noted, as a result, Social Security benefits will likely rise somewhere in the middle of those figures, between potentially around 8.8%. That would still be the fourth largest cost of living bump ever, according to Fortune. The nonprofit Senior Citizens League previously estimated an increase of 8.6% next year, according to CBS News. So, Security recipients received 5.9% cost of living in 2022, the biggest in decades. We all know that inflation has been higher than 5.9% for a long time. More than decades for sure. We know that for real. Now it's double that much. And they're going to give a pay. Well, I'm not, if you need the check, I understand that. I do. And I'm 73 years old, almost 74. I get that. I paid into it for years. I'd rather have something in a savings account, but that wasn't an option when I started. So now here we are. And 10% increase, where they're predicting it is a good size increase, but it's still not going to come close to inflation. It isn't. And those are things that we have to plan on, people that are living and to the point they can't work extra hours because they're not working for extra money. They're getting to the age now that they aren't able to go to a job every day. This could make a huge difference as far as inflation and what's going to do to our economy. I'm feeling the squeeze. You probably are too. Central bank digital currencies are coming. What will the consequences be? Now, I'm not going to read this whole article to you. I just want to read to you the power that central banks have. The power that central banks have. The president and Congress really has no power over economics. Supposed to. Congress supposed to determine. But Congress gave up a long time ago when they started printing fiat currency and brought in the Federal Reserve, which was brought in to destroy the country economy, to make bankers trillionaires and take away property from the peons. That's us. So keep in mind the central banks run the world, just as they try to do in Christ's time when Christ kicked us, but bankers out of the temple. And then let's move on. Currencies are the lifeblood of trade and the economy. If a currency fails, the entire economy fails. Yet most people really think about the health or buying power of the money in their pocket. People don't research how often currencies actually falter, and how common it is for the inflation or stagflation to strike nations. They just assume that the money they have will be as useful tomorrow as it is today. They also assume that money will never change in a dramatic way. Folks, I'll make two comments here. Currency is not money. Currency is not money. And they have to fail because they are currency. If we had money, we would have gold and silver. And that would not fail. Fluctuate some in value, of course, but it couldn't fail because its intrinsic value and it's tangible. It's not paper. It's backed by itself. The lack of interest in how money works is likely due to the fact that people are not taught how their money is created. Boy, ain't that the truth. It's not discussed in schools. The truth is avoided in the colleges, and the mainstream news rarely mentions it. People think our government and the Treasury handles all of that. But the reality is that our government does not create our money. At least it's not in charge of the process. Central bankers are, and they operate from a quasi-independent position. For example, Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan once openly admitted that the central bank answers to no one and does not follow orders from the government. They do what they want when they want. This attitude should concern you because it is a long-held argument among critics of the Fed that they are an unelected body with ultimate power to destroy the economy and the dollar at will if they want to. Sure, the U.S. president gets to choose the next executive chairman from a list of candidates that is given to him by the Fed, of course. Repeat that, folks. Just like in politics, they choose the president. You say, oh, no, they don't. Yeah, they do. They just did. Such election, they proved that. But anyway, so Congress gets to choose the next successive head to the Fed from the list that the Fed gives them. What could go wrong with that? And Congress can conceivably call for a full audit of the Fed's financial actions and policies, but they never do because it would never be allowed by the banks or the political powerness. The central bank is the most powerful institution in our nation by far. They are completely unaccountable and uncontrollable. Let that sink in a minute. Let that sink in, and you wonder why the economy's slumping and up and down. And Thomas Jefferson warned us about that, folks. That the banks, if given the power, would raise inflation, lower inflation, do whatever they want to the point that people wind up slaves on the continent that they settled. And it's happened. It has happened. It's still happening. Yet most people have no idea because they still take the dollar to the store and spend $5 for a gallon of gas and walk out not thinking about it. There's a massive housing shortage across the U.S. Here's how bad it is where you live. Now, folks, I don't know. So, of course, I live in West Virginia. We're not known to be the biggest state in the country, but about 1.5 million people in the whole state. And if we were flattened out, we'd be pretty much the size of Texas, I guess. But anyway, not many people in the state. And I don't know. There is a housing shortage here, though. There truly is. But I live, where I live, I've lived here now for over going on 50 years about this place and off my father-in-law. So I haven't noticed it. But people I do know are seeing it happen around here. Contractors work on the roof of a house and say, no, this, anyway, back to a different article. Daniel and Colin Lloyd spent the past year trying to buy a house in Atlanta, which went about as you'd expect these days. There's just nothing in this whole area. Just nothing, said Danielle. The couple is looking for a place with at least a small yard and space for their three young kids. The prices were just ridiculous, says Colin. People are just bidding much higher than what the house was listed for. Daniel and Colin Lloyd spent much of the past year looking at homes in Atlanta but couldn't find anything they could afford. I only cried twice, Daniel chimes in. Meanwhile, the landlord was about to raise her rent by $450 a month which also is caused by the same problem, not enough homes to rent or buy. We're seeing a shortage of or housing underproduction in all corners of the U.S., says Mike Kinsella, the CEO of Up for Growth, which on Thursday released a study about the problem. The nonprofit research group is made up of affordable housing industry groups. America's fallen 3.8 million homes short of meeting housing needs, and that's both rental housing and ownership. Home prices are up more than 30% over the past couple of years, making homeownership unaffordable for millions of Americans. Rents are rising sharply, too. The biggest culprit in this historic housing shortage, strong demand and slow supply means higher prices. Part of the problem goes back to the last housing crash, which happened in 2008. After that, many home builders went out of business, and economists say we didn't build enough for a decade. Yeah, this is actually happening. And yes, it does hurt. It does hurt. And I know for a fact that rent in our area, and we are a very poor economy, we're low, much lower than most places, but the rent in our area compared to other states, if you compare dollar for dollar, is just as much as other places. The money that they make other places is not made here. Saudis double Russia crude imports as prepares for BRICS inclusion. Saudi Arabia has made its mind to join the BRICS nations. Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa will now include Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia has a thirst for heavily discounted Russian diesel and other fuel products banned by many countries in the West. The world's largest oil exporter more than doubled the amount of Russian fuel oil in the second quarter supply of power generation stations to meet surging cooling demand this summer and allow the kingdom's crude exports to increase. Western sanctions forced Russia to discount fuel oils on spot markets, which increased demand in the East, not just from the Saudi, but also from China and India. Energy trade data provider Reuters shows Saudi imported 647,000 tons of fuel oils from Russia in the second quarter, up from 320,000 tons in the same quarter last year. Doubled it, folks. The surge in the Russian-Saudi energy trade comes as BRICS International Foreign President Perina Anan told Russia newspaper Investia that Saudis are planning to join. That would boost multilateral cooperation between the BRICS, including Saudis, meaning they wouldn't cave to U.S. demands to restrict Russian energy imports. And that dollar will go, and that's just the way it is. And that is the way it is. It's bad now. The Mexican president, Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador, jabbed at President Joe Biden during an Oval Office meeting on Tuesday, noting that America's citizens have been crossing the southern border in order to buy gas at a cheaper price. Now, folks, this is in the Oval Office in the White House, mind you. Lopez Obrador, according to several sources, treated Biden to a lengthy speech when they met at the White House. He covered a range of topics, calling for more formal policies with regard to immigration and ribbing Biden over the high cost of gas in the United States. Extraordinary AMLO has been speaking for 25 minutes in the Oval Office, offering Biden a lengthy soliloquy about the New Deal gas prices and opportunities for greater economic collaboration. Los Angeles Times White reporter Eli Stuckles tweeted, he's still going. At the most awkward part was when AMLO told Biden Mexico's letting Americans cross the border to buy gas because it's $1 cheaper per gallon. Biden, when he finally finished after 31 minutes, reminded him that the U.S. economic growth is leading the world. And I sat back and listened to that. And if we are, I pity the other countries. If that is true, I pity other countries. If we're the leaders, with their economy the way it is, then other nations must be in one heck of a mess. Starbucks CEO. Starbucks is a very liberal company that I never enjoyed. I never would like their coffee. I'm not paying $10 for a cup of coffee. Starbucks also is a company that will pay their employees to cross the lines, state lines, to murder the babies. I never went to Starbucks. I'll never go to Starbucks. And if you do, shame on you is all I can say. But Starbucks CEO says stores are no longer safe in Democrat-run Seattle, Portland, Philadelphia, L.A., and D.C. Yeah, I mean, this is a very liberal man, I don't know what to use for this man, just Mr. Schultz, but he is a traitor to his country, put it that way. But he said, we're going to close stores in cities like Seattle, Portland, Philadelphia, L.A., and D.C., because the stores aren't safe in those societies. The cities have abdicated their responsibility by fighting crime. Well, welcome to what you have created, Mr. Schultz. You have created, so enjoy it. They closed 16 stores in the U.S. because of safety concerns for workers, including instances of violence and drug use on the premises. So welcome to the world that you created. Too bad for you, sir. My. You're just breaking my heart. Gosh. Now, I got to stop on that because I want to share a good news story, if you don't mind, in closing. I always want to do that because I think it's something very important. And these are little things. These are little instances, but they turn out to be such huge blessings to somebody. A University of Iowa football player is being praised for offering a helping hand to a stranger in need. Zach Twelt, a freshman linebacker, pulled over on the interstate after he spotted a woman with a flat tire. Tina Gunn wrote about the experience on Facebook. I was on my way back to my son's track meet in Minnesota and got a flat tire on an Iowa interstate. I tried to request roadside assistance in my Allstate app because I don't know how to change a flat tire, but was not getting a signal on my phone because of where we were in Iowa. So I was looking down, messing with my phone, and thought instead of using the app, I would call Allstate, which takes longer. I was thinking it's going to take a few hours for them to get to me once I get a hold of them. When my son goes somewhere, someone is here. Like this guy appeared out of nowhere and dressed in Iowa Hawkeye gear and goes, "Can I help you?" Long story short, his name is Zach Twitt, football player for Iowa Hawkeyes. I just wanted to appreciate him for being so kind and helping a stranger out who needed to get her kids home safely. He could have kept going, but he didn't. What a good dude. May God reward him for his kindness today. Gunn's post has over 21,000 likes on Facebook. Thank you, Zach, for being an angel and a light for my sister and her boys. Gunn's sister, Sonia, commending the post. Folks, some good folks are left. Let's appreciate it. Have a great weekend. And we'll see you Monday, God willing. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
The bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.